Welcome to Lilas. If you grew up in the 90s, you probably know what that stands for. And by default, this podcast is for you.
Welcome, welcome. Season 2, episode 39. Ooh, you did it. You knew. Gosh, I'm so happy.
Track now. So we don't sound like bubbling idiots at the beginning. Like, what is that? What number? What is this?
Thank God you are. Yeah, I always write it down and then always forget once we come on air. So back to the bubbling idiot part of it, huh?
I guess.
Right. We're just still all making it through things every day. We're just making it through and honestly reflecting about it. So, hey, we're doing the work.
That's right. True to form, we have zero preparation for today's topic. But it's like anything. I feel like I could talk about these topics because they're of interest and they all relate to our wellness overall. And this one happened super organically. Mm-hmm. And so I just came from coffee with some girlfriends, which is one of my favorite things to do nowadays. And, you know, as we were talking about, she was like, what's the topic today? So I was filling her in a little bit and I was like, you know, I don't have anything prepared. We're just going to talk basically. But then I was thinking about it on the way home and I was like, well, this is part of my rich life. Right. And so today's topic is like, how do you create a rich life? And first and foremost, that's not an original topic or title that I came up with. So to give some background on where this is coming from. If you've listened to previous episodes, you know that in February of this year, my husband lost his job, right? Everything happens for a reason and everything's an opportunity. And so we had a lot of time together because I had taken the year off and we were, you know, our kids were at school or, you know, just Jolie was here with us. And so we started watching this show on Netflix called, I think it was called like, I'll Teach You to Be Rich or How to Get Rich, something. I think it was How to Get Rich and by Ramit. I'm sure I'm going to say this wrong. Ramit Sethi. And at first we just started watching it because he is basically like a financial advisor that goes in on the show to people who are in pretty significant debt and sort of helps them get out of debt or create a plan, if nothing else, and to look at things like from a different lens. It was really interesting in some ways because obviously if neither one of you are working, you have no income. And the whole situation that surrounded that opened the door for a lot of conversations, right? About money and what we save for and what we spend for. And I've been pretty open on this podcast about the fact that I am a disaster when it comes to finances.
I can't believe you just said that.
Well, I mean, it's true. I have nothing to hide. If it were me alone and, you know, I lost my job, I would have, you know, maybe not been able to put food on the table and to spend what I make. Whereas my husband is much more conservative. He always has a plan. He always has lots of little, he's like a squirrel. He's always got his little, like, you know, savings nests everywhere. Which is great that I like don't know about. I like willingly like had always been like, that's your thing. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. And then when we found ourselves in that situation, it obviously was very helpful because it wasn't like, oh, shit, how are we going to pay our mortgage? He's like, oh, we planned for this. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm so glad we did that. And so anyway, we started watching the show and it really started a pretty awesome conversation between us. Where we eventually sat down with a financial advisor and he showed me all his spreadsheets and I started to have like a better understanding of just where we stand. And so the whole concept behind the show, if you've never seen it, the whole concept is about creating a rich life. And that doesn't mean like, how do you get rich quick? How do you get wealthy in terms of money? It's really deciding what is a rich life to you? Like what things or experiences, like what's important to you? Is it to have like the nicest house on the block? Is it to drive a brand new car every 3 years? Is it picking your kids up from school every day? Is it having a flexible schedule? Like you get to determine your rich life. Like mine can look very different from yours. It can look different from anybody's. It's up to you to create that. And so we started having those conversations of what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? And then it just sort of evolved into, okay, well, then let's make sure that we're saving for these things that are important to us collectively. Mm-hmm. And so have you ever seen this show?
No, I haven't.
Concept to you? I mean, I know I've briefly talked to you about this, but I just think it opened such great conversation. And not mm-hmm. only that, like, you're watching the show and you're like, well, these people are much worse off than we are, right? Like, well, neither one of us, we're like, you know, laying in bed at like noon watching a Netflix show and we're like, these losers, like, no. But at the same time, very validating. And like, it made me look at things very differently. I feel like I've changed in the last year. It'd be interesting to hear if my husband agrees, but I tended to just buy whatever I want, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's sort of how our finances worked and how my salary worked. And once I didn't have a salary coming in, the dynamics shifted in our relationship and it became, you know, it felt in some ways like I was spending his money. And I, mm-hmm. you know, it changed because I've worked since I was 15 years old. I've always had a job. And so when it's no longer your money, it just feels different. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it allowed for some of those conversations too. But at any rate, I feel like I used to just be like very instant gratification. Like I wanted, I buy it, right? I love my skincare. I love my shoes. Mm-hmm. Love a good purse. Like those types of things really like gave me instant gratification and like some necessity, right? We need some skincare, mm-hmm. maybe not like the best of the best, but some. And so I just look at things differently now. I'm like, well, is this part of our rich life? And is this mm-hmm. going to achieve the things that are actually really important to me and to us? And so we wrote down, like we sat down and we just like compared notes. And so one of the things for me, certainly part of my rich life, is like having the flexibility to meet friends for coffee once a week, mm-hmm. or he and I go and get coffee on Fridays or whatever it is. Like that's something that's important to me, right? You can mm-hmm. Develop deep, meaningful friendships. You can be there for each other, that face-to-face that you just can't get via text or sometimes over the phone. Like I love coffee. That's very important to me. And so stacking some of those things and knocking it all out. Like I love a coffee shop. We tried mm-hmm. a new one today. It's not my favorite. It was okay. But, it does help you sort of prioritize. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jeff is a real finance guy. Have you guys ever done something like this?
He is 1,000% finance. Like numbers is the language I think that he speaks, you know, very fluently. We have had many conversations about like where we want our life to be, what we want to be able to provide and have, and the pathway, I think, in order to kind of get there. And I think that we share a lot of in our terms of similarities. Like we're not real big spenders on like material based things. Like our house is very modest. It's modest compared.
Very nice.
It's a nice
house. You've got some nice shoes up in that closet too, honey.
That's true.
Don't lie.
No, I do have some nice shoes. But I think that in comparison to, you know, in comparison, I think that we do live pretty modestly in within those regards. Like I get most of our stuff from Target, you know what I mean? Except some of those shoes. But we pivot to spending like our fun money or to spending most of our life is on experiences. Mm-hmm. Like we just don't fill up our, like, I'm just not a jewelry person. Like mm-hmm. I do not, like, he'll be like, well, should I get you some? I will lose a pair of earrings. Do not spend more than like $15 on me with earrings. You know, I mean, most of the time I will still have them, but I'm scared to death that I will lose things. And so I'm not a jewelry person. I'm not a purse person. I'm not like into that kind of like material based types of things. But I think that what we really do value is our time. Mm-hmm. And for us, the definition of living richly is making sure that the time that we have is filled with the types of things that we want it to be filled with. Mm-hmm. And so we will eliminate other things almost at any other type of cost in order to have the time to do certain things. And I think that that's our definition, I think, of being able to live richly and to just be present for those experiences, you know? So it's not even about like, even, I think when we talk about this stuff, it's like, yeah, you have to have money, you have to do this. I don't think that has to be the case. I just think that you have to bring, like what you said, those moments of mindfulness to whatever it is that you're engaging in. And that's where the richness comes from. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come, you know what I mean, necessarily from the monetary effect. It comes from the quality of like you stacking it up with your friends, your husband, really sitting back and enjoying and taking, like, again, mindful drinks of that coffee or cappuccino and just letting it fill, you know, you in that space. Mm-hmm. That's what richly is. It's just, for me, that's, I think, how I kind of define it that way. But I do think that it's different for each person. And that's why I like this topic so much, is because you can take the general idea of it and then apply it to whatever area of your life that you feel that gap is needed. So,
yeah, I think when you think about keeping up with the Joneses, everybody knows that phrase that's been around for ages, but keeping up with the Joneses, sometimes you're like, well, I don't fall into that, right? I don't really care if I have the nicest car or the nicest house or the nicest clothes. But what I realized once I started to take a little bit of stock is maybe I'm not necessarily trying to keep up with someone, but, you know, I was like, I'm fully admitting, like, I am the target of all influencers, because if I see you on talking about like some skincare item that has like taken your wrinkles away, like, done, like, bought, purchased, you know, I laugh because I'm like, I've got like the steam machine downstairs and I use the stuff, but like, very impulsive types of purchases, right? Because I'm like, it's my money, I'll spend it how I want to. You know, we don't live above our means. Now there's times where Jeff will be like, oh, we spent too much last month or whatever. Mm-hmm. But those are, he is so aware and we talk about it enough that it makes me aware. And I used to just be a stick my head in the sand kind of gal. Like, you know, if I don't know, it won't hurt. Whereas now, like, I want to know those things because I want to make sure that we have the funds set aside for certain things that are important to me, like mini vacations or being able to like see my mom, you know, like having time off or time away, whether that means working part time or working from home, whatever that is, in order to make those things happen, you have to really decide, okay, what is important to me? And maybe not have, you know, I can't tell you how many things I have like sitting in my Amazon cart that like sounds great in the moment, but I just let it ride now, you know, because if I'm still thinking about it 3 days later, then I'll go by and buy it, go back and buy it. Nine times out of 10, I forget about it.
Yeah.
So it just made me pause, which I think is good for all of us to like pause, be like, is this necessary? Or is this something that I'm buying because of that instant gratification?
Yeah.
This is going to, you know, I'm feeling like my skin looks extra old today. And so I'm going to like buy all the eye creams and all the things when it's just not necessary. We end up, you know, purging so much crap that we buy impulsively. And that goes for our kids too. A lot of times on the show, we talk about setting an example for our kids. And I will say my kids are pretty good. They don't understand like brands or like my friends wear this and I wear that. Like they don't ever say things like that. But you know, I don't want that to become part of their identity either. In that, like, I have to wear a certain brand or I have to wear a certain shoe or whatever that is. I want them to like what they like and what we can afford and what's necessary. And so part of that was me also being like, oh, well, maybe I need to set that example by not buying everything that my heart desires in the moment. And that's taken some time because it just does, you know, you kind of fall into patterns where you're used to buying what you want, when you want it, how you want it. And then you get to things like birthdays and Christmas and people are like, well, what do you want? And it's like, well, I don't actually need anything because I buy it in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of, it creates more of that delayed gratification of like, yes, I want this. I'll put it on my Christmas list. And if I still want it 6 months from now, then I'll send it out to the family. And if somebody wants to buy it, great. If they don't, that's okay too.
Yeah.
But really just like taking some stock in what's the most important thing to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the plan? What are we moving? What parts are moving to help those things become reality for us?
Yes. Yeah. And I think what I like a lot about what you said is how you guys actually sat down and you like wrote out the list.
Mm-hmm.
And you cross compared it and seen really where you all were trending towards, and then were able to develop like goals that you can then work on that then translates to the plan. And then that makes the everyday stuff, like what you're talking about, like those everyday micro decisions that we're going through. Mm. Whenever we have that goal at the end of the day, then it's so much easier to default back onto that and be like, is this a want versus a need kind of a thing? Yeah. It really does create that area, I think, of pause that gives us that opportunity for, you know, growing, I guess, in whatever form that really does kind of come down to. And so now I think it's awesome to be able to do that and to have the partnership enabled to do it too, you know?
Yeah. And I think so many people are in different scenarios. I don't, you know, obviously a lot of times you don't talk finances, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like socially unacceptable to talk about your finances. I feel like it doesn't bother me as much. Like I would never talk specific numbers by any means, but just to say like, you know, like we don't have a lot of credit card debt. We don't have any, yeah, my student loans are paid off, like that kind of stuff. I'm sure I know people that are in some sort of debt. And so that's kind of what was interesting about the show we were watching. He also has a book and a podcast. I think they're all kind of called the same thing. I'll Teach You to Be Rich or How to Get Rich. But the idea, the concept is like, if you're in trouble, here's how you make a plan to get out of trouble, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Pay down that debt and really get yourself to a good spot. Or if you're in a situation where you're saving, and you have all these savings, but you're not spending them on the things that are important to you. Like, what are you saving for?
Right.
But that was a big conversation that Jeff and I had. It was like, okay, what's this for? What's the plan?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have it and still not have a plan. And I think ultimately what it comes down to is how do you make a plan that is aligned with what's important to you? Your rich life is essentially how that plays out. And so, you know, it was interesting to see like what's important to him versus what's important to me. But ultimately our goals are pretty aligned. Like we want to retire early. We want to take vacations. You know, we want to have like a big vacation every couple of years where it's just the two of us. We want to take mini vacations. We want, you know, to make sure that our kids' college funds are accessible to them. You start to talk about things like, you know, if I were to die, like what's the point of that? And what's the health or insurance look like? So, I mean, it just sort of opened itself up to so many other conversations that are sort of hard to have that you don't necessarily want to. But once it started, it was like, oh, this is good stuff. Because it sort of, that's one thing that, I mean, my perception of marital problems, I feel like a lot of people struggle with money.
Mm-hmm.
See how that could be, quite honestly, like especially if you're not the one bringing an income, it does change the dynamic. I've talked about this with a lot of friends, a lot of other women I know that are stay-at-home moms, especially if you had a career before and you're used to having your own money.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to go from that to not. And it just creates like this just a different dynamic. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's just different than what you're used to. And as independent women, we're like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to ask you if I can spend $100 on a face cream. Like, I'm going to do it because it's what I want. And I have worked my whole life. And if I want to spend $100 on face cream, I will. But at any rate, you do have to have some of those conversations of like, knowing where your partner's at, what's important to them. You know, I learned that when I go like on a shopping spree, like those little, you know, Jeff sees everything and that gives him anxiety. And he's like, you know, a lot of times I just have to talk him off the ledge. Like, it's fine. That's what, you know, that's what this is, especially like Christmas time. Anytime we spend, I spend a lot in a short amount of time, he's like, Jenny, you know, he's like, this is giving me anxiety. But I'm like, once I explain it, he's like, oh, okay. You know, and he's like, starts pulling it from his little pots. But it's those conversations that like, I didn't even realize I was causing him anxiety.
Sure. Sure. No, yeah. It is a great way to kind of bridge the gap, I guess, into other areas of life that we tend just to kind of like shy away from or not address. And I think too, for me, whenever we were talking about some of this stuff at different points of time, the thing that always stood out to me, and I think that so much of this was from work and from practice, is that many of the folks that I would talk to were the type that like, I want, you know, I've worked my whole life to have like this retirement experience. And now my partner is deceased. Or now my health does not allow me to do the things that I had planned to be able to do. And so whenever we were having these discussions about what we wanted our life to kind of look like, our pivot was to, I don't believe in waiting for these things to happen, you know? So part of us, it's seizing those opportunities now because there's no guarantees of the future. And I think that there is this mentality for maybe even an entire generation of people that, you know, you need to work your ass off 8 to 5 every single day. Hopefully whenever you turn like 62, you'll be able to retire. And that's whenever you're going to have all this like time and space to do things. But that was just a crock of shit. Like whoever like threw that fable out there and then people started treating as fact. I think that that's where so much distress came from, because then they weren't able to do it, from financial reasons to things happening with their kids, their grandkids, their partner, health. And so for us, it really came down to, what are we doing on a daily basis to allow us to have the greatest experience out of the life that we're living, like right now? And then how can we make sure that we're not missing out on potential opportunities? And so we kind of joke about it, but I think that it's honestly just also points of reflection for each of us, is that we can look back on the last 7 years of our life and literally and very honestly say, it feels like we've lived like 30 in the different things that we've like done or the experiences that we've had, but that's been very intentional for numerous reasons. Like we wanted to, we realized we were missing out on life for a period of time. And so now that we have a partner that is actually like wants to share this stuff with us, like, holy hell, let's go, you know? And then I think that we are both acutely aware that there's no promises into the future. And, you know, if we make smart decisions now about what we're doing, then we're able to live that life now. And so later on, like, I'm not going to look back at 72 and be like, gosh, I really wish we would have done that experience.
Yeah.
You know, I just, I don't like, regret is the one thing I'd always tell patients too. Like, I can help you with anything that you've been through your entire life, except regret. And so you need to know that right now, that is not something that is going to ever be a functional point of practice here. So don't live life with that regret of wishing that you would have done something. Create the path, the plan, the conversation, so that way you can get there and make it happen.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think that's what we try to even to some degree encourage with our kids, especially as they get older. It's really coming down to like, what kind of life do you want to live? And what are the necessary steps that we need to kind of like help you to get there? And also, like, let's not put off like doing some of this other stuff along the way, okay? Because that's important. So,
right, creating those memories. But that's such a good point. We tend to look at our parents as examples of maybe what we want to do, or maybe what we want to do differently. And I had very different examples. My dad was like, you know, he had no retirement plan. It was like, he always said he was going to die with his boots on, and, you know, he did. And so his retirement plan in some ways worked out. But you know, he always wanted to work, and so he wasn't saving. He was a independent contractor. He had his own businesses. And so in that regard, it was very like, c'est la vie, YOLO, mm-hmm. baby. And it's good. And he bought things that he wanted and had a beautiful farm and horses. I mean, we had all the things that were important to him. And so I would say in many ways, he had a rich life. We were never rich, but he lived his rich life.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, had he planned a little bit better, you know, that farm could like still be in our family and things could have been different in terms of just how things shook out there at the end, with some like financial issues that he had there at the end. Right. But then you know, my stepdad was like the complete opposite. He was very, very much like my husband in many ways, very much the planner. He retired early, you know, like everything was done exactly as, you know, he wanted. And he was able to, I think he retired at like 55 and lived his best life until his health, you know, took a turn. But to your point, like nothing is guaranteed. And so there's got to be some middle ground there. I look at my in-laws as such a great example. Mm-hmm. They retired early. They are living their best life. They do all the things that they love. They live a very rich life in many ways, not because they had, I mean, Jeff will often say, like, you know, we didn't have like the nicest house on the block. Mom didn't, you know, drive new cars all the time. Like their rich life kind of shifted later in life, but it was all because of those decisions that they made mm-hmm. early on. And so it makes you think about long-term, how do you bridge the gap? How do you like live your best life now in the time that you know you have, and also plan accordingly for the future so that you mm-hmm. can continue to live that rich life? You know, and your priorities are going to change. Right now, it's super important to me to be present in my kids' childhood. Like, you cannot get this time back. I tell myself that every day. And so being here, picking them up from school, my husband said yesterday, after we dropped him off, we ride bikes. And he was like, this is literally the best part of my day. And I laughed, I dropped him off. And he goes, no, like, I love the bike ride to school. And so like that is, you know, like being able to see that play out and to mm-hmm. see the joy that it brings, it's like, okay, this is why we're doing these things. This is why we've made these decisions. It helps to validate what we're doing and why we're doing it. But as they get older and they don't need us to bike with them to school, like that's going to change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure there will be different aspects of a rich life. But when we look at our parents, you know, sometimes, you know, not everybody's got great examples to learn from. And that's okay too. Everybody's doing the best they can with what they have. I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting to kind of see now as our parents are getting older, how their plans played out.
Yeah.
And they get to do all the traveling. My grandparents, I would say, also lived a very rich life. Again, not rich people, but made mm-hmm. conscious decisions. They traveled a lot in their golden years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, but not everybody gets that. Some people retire and then pass away within that same year. You know, you just don't know what your cards hold. So it's a fine line, right? Of like,
yeah,
can't take it with you. And that's very much how I used to operate, like YOLO, baby.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be some awareness too of like, you have to have some plan for the future if you don't want to pass debt on to your kids, or if you want them to have a trust fund or whatever you want to call it, a nugget to start their adult lives with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, but it all comes back down to having that conversation and then looking at that, like, what's the plan? What's the goal? And then every day, just kind of making those micro decisions to kind of get to that point. And you and your partner always being on the same page with it, I think, is the most important piece to it. You know, if you're in that kind of relationship, and if you're not and you're solo, then you know what, girl, you can do what you got to do.
That's right.
You know, yep.
But as long as you can cover your expenses, right?
Yeah. But even in those moments, I would still say that, again, richness, I don't even know. I mean, I just don't know that it comes down to a quantity of money. Like I tell my husband, like all the time, I was like, I would be just as happy living in a camper pumping gas. You know what I mean? We'll say actually like sitting on a pumpkin, like doing that kind of a thing. Not to say that what we do is not terribly enjoyable and we love it, but it's also, that's not at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Kind of what matters.
And I don't know. That business class travel to Europe ain't too shabby.
It's nice. No. It's very nice. And I'm saying that what we choose to spend our money on is, again, it's the experiences that we get out of those things. You know,
give you a hard time, but you really are like one of the most low maintenance people that I know, especially women. Like you like certain things, but you're not extravagant. Like you don't really see material items. And I don't either. I don't think of myself that way. Like I don't need a lot of jewelry. I don't need like the nicest stuff, but I do tend to have expensive taste. Mm-hmm. Taste on a beer budget. And that's okay too, right? I like what I like. I know what I like.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that too. But it all comes back to like, is that really necessary? Is that what makes you happy? You know, is that what brings you joy? You know, and if you can say yes to that, then okay. Mm-hmm. Then that's part of your rich life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And so it's just, how are you divining that? And then how are you working your plan with it? And yes, it may come down to going on a trip here or there, but that's a value I think that we share. You know what I mean? Yes. We get so much more out of it. I mean, it's the cultural experience. It's being someplace else. That I think fills our cup so much is just being sitting at a cafe in a place that we can't speak the language. The only person I can talk to is him. And it's just, we're just there in that space and moment. Like there's nothing to me that's better than doing that, like period. And so, yeah, there's decisions, there's sacrifices, there's things that we may make in order to do that. But that's what our values kind of come down to. So yeah, that's where I go with it.
And it's all part of mental health. It's all part of finding joy in what you have versus like what, you know, you see your friends having, or what you think, you know, everyone expects you to have. It all, you know, it really comes down to, do I care about, you know, whatever it is? Do I care? If I have, you know, new countertops, I'm just going to throw something out there. Like, I don't care. I mean, would they be nice? Sure. But like at the end of the day, I don't care. As long as things are functional, like it's just, it is what it is. And there are other things that are more important to me. I think it helps really to help us realize what's actually important to me.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody gave me $100,000, would I rather buy a $100,000 car or would I rather go on 5 European vacations, you know, whatever it is. So it helps you to sort of really get down to the nitty gritty.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because it is hard. I don't know anybody our age that is completely free, maybe except you, because you are really good about this, but like the whole, like keeping up with the Joneses or keeping up with the expectation. Like, I think easily we all on some level fall into that trap at some point in our life, whether we care to admit it or not. You know, it's something that I've always sort of prided myself on that I didn't really care, but like I said, I tend to like expensive things, or I just like expensive. So I say expensive, like, let's face it, it's not that expensive. I'm not like designer duds over here, but I like Viore, which tends to be a little bit more expensive than like your Target yoga pants.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let's say like middle class fancy.
That's good. It's nothing
extravagant. I'm not like, you know, it's nothing crazy. But that's okay, right? As long as it's something that is really important to you, it makes you happy. That's
absolutely
that plays into our daily life and our joy.
Mm-hmm.
Is ultimately what we're all seeking.
Definitely. Yeah. So I think it just comes down to defining that for yourself, having those conversations with your partner, and then remembering that you're modeling it all for the kids too. So.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
You are the example. So
yeah.
Set a good one. If you haven't checked out that show on Netflix, it's called How to Get Rich, and highly suggest it to watch as a couple. I think that was also kind of cool that we watched it as a couple, and then it like led into so many conversations. So if you find yourself in a relationship or a partnership where you all struggle to talk about finances, like just press play on that and see if that doesn't help you generate some conversations. And then also, I think he does a podcast. It's called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. Ramit Sethi. So check out his resources. The podcast, the book, he's got the television show. He's interesting to listen to. I really, really like his demeanor and the way he explains it way better than I probably just did. But it's ultimately saying your rich life is up to you. Like you get to decide.
Yeah.
Which is the coolest part. It's not society's expectations.
Right. Yeah. No.
You don't have to buy the Forerunner, you know, or whatever the car du jour is. You don't have to live in the neighborhood that everybody lives in. You don't have to have the ice bath, although it would be nice. I'm just going to throw that out.
You like the ice bath. You are loving the ice bath.
Well, I just want to try one. I've never even done it. But, you know, you don't have to have all these things. Are those nice? Sure. But like, ultimately, who cares?
Yeah. No. And like you said before, you can't take it with you, but what you can do now to make you be at that point in place, I don't know that it's living impulsively, but I think that it's living within the moment and not putting it off till the end, because again, there's no guarantees for it. So do it responsibly, and with appreciation and mindfulness of what you have in that moment, what you've been given. You can't sometimes get things back, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no guarantees for the future. So people are like, I just want to wait until I know that things are secure. Mm-hmm. Did you do that before you had kids? I mean, did you really know how expensive they were? Because if any of us did, we wouldn't be there. There would be zero population on Earth. Mm-hmm. Right. Like no. And so I don't think that we can use that as like a logical argument for things. I just think it just comes down to, what can we do right now, you know, to create that definition for ourselves in this moment and working towards those goals within the future too. So,
yeah, my husband always says you spend what you make, or you know, like as you make more, you spend more. Mm-hmm. Or like I used to think once our kids got out of daycare, we were going to have just like this windfall of money, and like, what a joke, right? What a joke. Like somehow that just siphons into like other things, whether it's like their college savings or whatever it is. I got a new car last year. Like now
soccer.
We have a car
payment
that we didn't have. Soccer, whatever you're spending your money on. Like it's not like you're just going to get a bonus check at the end of the year because you didn't have to put a kid in daycare. Like, no, now that goes to summer camps that cost $3,000 a week or what ridiculous amount it costs. It all just ends up somewhere else. And so to like think that you're going to have that money later is a joke. So it's all about the plan, man. It's all about the plan. What's the plan?
What's the plan? What's the
plan? Anyway. Let us know, hit us up on our Instagram page, the Lilas Podcast, go to our website and let us know what your rich life looks like. I'm always curious to hear what people's rich life looks like. Like, what's important to you? You've heard mine. You've heard Sarah's.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know. And if you find yourself in some debt that you would like to get out of, check out Ramit Sethi. I even wrote it down. I still can't say it. Check out his resources, because I do think it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
To look at ways, like he's very smart with money. I also just don't speak that language, like finance language. I'm very, very, very grateful that my husband does.
Mm-hmm.
And that he really understands like stocks. Like every time I try to like put money in stocks, like what a disaster. I always pick the wrong things. It's basically like, hey, how to lose money with Jenny. because I do. I don't have a good, whereas like my mother-in-law is really good at picking stocks. Like, you know, there's just, there's some people out there that have that gift. I did not receive that gift. And so, you know, he does talk about that stuff. He explained things that I could like actually understand. So check out those resources as well. We'll link that on the resources page at thelilaspodcast.com.
Yeah, check us out. So this is all timely too. You know, we're getting ready to come into a new year. Maybe this is part of your goals and moving into the new year. So we're planting seeds here, right?
Or maybe don't spend thousands of dollars at Christmas this year.
Please don't.
Like I definitely have shied away. I used to be, I love gift giving. It's one of my love languages. And now I'm just about like experiences. Let's maybe do like a secret Santa. So you're buying like one really nice gift instead of like 27 little gifts. Seriously. Like, let's be more thoughtful in how we spend our money and what we spend it on.
Absolutely. Yeah. So check us out. Next week, we're going to have a very special guest on. Again, we're planting seeds for, we're always following up, I feel like, on what we've talked about before, which is still what we're interested in now, and then planting seeds for the future. So we've got all three bases kind of covered. And so we're going to be finishing out season two with another special guest who's going to be coming on, dishing on all the things that we need to know about our personal health, our diets. Like, how do we like plan healthy meals for our kids? Like, what does that actually look like, especially on a budget? Like, you don't have to buy everything like brand new organic, you know, like here's the poor man's plan. Here's whatever it is that we need to do in order to make these things happen. And then we'll go on a little bit of a break. So we're not going away, right? We'll have our season two break, and then we'll be jumping right back in with our season three for the new year. And it'll be so fun. Can't wait.
So fun. All right. Until next week, guys. Lilas.
See ya.